This is New Testament Character Podcast 45 on Phoebe. Like many New Testament characters, she shows up in only one passage, and that's in Romans 16. Let's read it first. Now, I commend to you our sister Phoebe, who was a servant of the church in Kenchrea, so that you may welcome her in the Lord in a way worthy of the saints and provide her with whatever help she may need from you, for she has been a great help to many, including me. And then Paul continues, greet Prisca and Aquila, my fellow workers, and so forth. Well, that's the passage. Who is Phoebe? Phoebe, let's clarify a couple of words. Her name and also Kenchrea, because that may have also pronounced sometimes Sunkrea. A Phoebe, or in modern Greek, Phoebe, is a feminine form of Phoebus Apollo. Remember, Apollo, the sun god. So it implies someone who's bright. Kenchrea is one of the seaports of Corinth. Now, you think Corinth has seaports, has more than one? Well, yes, because Corinth is where Greece almost separates into a mainland in the north and an island in the south. Corinth is an isthmus, and so the sea presses in on both sides, so to speak. So there are two ports. On the west side, where the Corinthian Gulf comes in, there was a busy port called Lycaeum. This is where the Spartans and Athenians battled in the 4th century BC, where Poseidon, the god of the sea, and Zeus, the king of the gods, was worshipped. And the harbor there was busy from the 6th century before Christ till the 6th century after Christ, well over 1,000 years. Well, that was on the west side. Kenchrea is on the east side, the Aegean side. The west side is the Adriatic side towards Italy. The east side is towards Turkey. The Aegean side, Kenchrea, is just 5 miles, 8 kilometers from the city. And it was a great port with breakwaters and seawalls and all kinds of engineering, a very prosperous town. And there they worship Aphrodite, the love goddess. You have Asclepius, the god of healing, Dionysus, the god of wine, Isis, the Egyptian underworld goddess. You have Pan, and you've Poseidon worship there. So that is Phoebe, and that's Cenchrea. So Cenchrea, it's a bit of a walk from Corinth. Corinth is more uphill, and it's a great place to visit if you ever go to Greece or if you come on one of our tours to Greece. Well, this is Romans 16, and there are many people that Paul greets, but Phoebe is the first one he mentions. By the way, in his list in Romans, he has at least 9 or 10 female colleagues. I remember when I was doing my master's many years ago, one of my professors pointed out that easily a third of the people that Paul commends and greets are women. These are primarily colleagues. That's quite something in a world where there was division and misunderstanding between men and women, that in the Christian church, a third of the Apostle Paul's, well, it may have been more than a third, but these are the ones he says to greet. And Phoebe is the first in the list, but actually he doesn't say greet her. He says, I commend to you our sister Phoebe. So after Paul has written this great letter to the Romans, this is the conclusion, before he signs off, why does he speak this way of Phoebe? What does that actually mean? Well, what most biblical scholars believe is that Phoebe is the one who was delivering the letter for Paul. She went to Rome. Paul was working in Corinth. Romans was written from Corinth. And she's the one who delivered the letter. There's a direct parallel in Acts 15. We have the Council of Jerusalem, and then Judas and Silas are sent to deliver the decision, which is actually a short letter. And let me just read in Acts 15. Then it seemed good to the apostles and elders with the whole church to choose men from among them and sent them to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas. They sent Judas, called Barsabas, and Silas, leading men among the brothers, along with the letter. And then we have the text of the letter. And interestingly, in the middle of the letter, we have therefore sent Judas and Silas, who themselves will tell you the same things by word of mouth. So they have this kind of a backup system there. Paul's going to be there with Barnabas, but they send Judas and Silas with a letter, and, well, the important message will be relayed. And so when they were sent off, Romans 15:30, They went down to Antioch, having gathered the congregation together. They delivered the letter. When they had read it, they rejoiced because of its encouragement. And Judas and Silas, who were themselves prophets, encouraged and strengthened the brothers with many words. And after they'd spent some time, they were sent off in peace and so forth. So delivering the letter, this is not, you know, you drop it in the mailbox and it's delivered, or copies are delivered, or it's sent to an e-list as though they were email. No, this is very much an auditory and oral society. People listen to letters being read. So if Phoebe's delivering it, it would make sense that she's commended. Let me read those words again. What does Paul say about her? Well, she's a servant or deacon of the church. Welcome her in the Lord in a way worthy of the saints, and then provide her with whatever help she may need from you, because she's not from Rome. She's going to need some help, presumably hospitality, perhaps more. And then he says, she's been a great help, or some versions say she's been a patron to many. That has a financial implication, to many people, including me. So Phoebe is commended, the letter deliverer. And Romans, look, this isn't Philemon, though that's a wonderful letter. Romans is thought by most people to be Paul's most important letter. It's certainly sensitive because he's dealing with the Jew-Gentile controversy, that relationship of law to gospel. And he's inoculating the Romans against this controversy that was destroying people's faith in Galatia. There are parallels with racial issues in our own day. You don't want just anyone speaking. No, Phoebe was trusted. Let me go a bit further. The commendation suggests not only that she's a letter bearer, but if she's a letter bearer, she would presumably have gone from house to house, that is, house church to house church. It's anachronistic to imagine that all the Christians in a city would be meeting in one rented hall or large place. They met in homes. And as she read the letter, she would have been there to clarify if there were questions and to share. Now, some of you listening may feel a bit uneasy. It may seem like too much responsibility for a first century woman. Well, let's talk about two words that describe her. Paul calls her diakonos. Diakonos is the word for servant, minister. It could be the waiter. It could be someone in a lowly position. But the basic idea is of some kind of service. We find service in Acts 6, what is traditionally called the choosing of the seven deacons, and also in 1 Timothy 3. Churches are led by overseers and servants, or elders and deacons. Philippians 1:1. Paul writes to Philippi, he writes to the church with the elders and deacons. And this is what Phoebe is called, diakonos. Of course, there's the question, is this an official church position, or is he simply saying she serves the church? It could go either way. Probably in the past, I tended to look at it in a more general way, but in the present, it feels to me more likely it's diakonos in the same sense as in Philippians 1. She's also called prostatis. Prostatis is the feminine form of a word that means leader. In ancient Greek, classical Greek, it was a leader or a chief or protector. In Roman times, it could mean a patron. This is the same word we have in Romans 12. I need to read a little bit of this, okay? By the grace given to me, I say to every one of you not to think more highly of yourselves than you ought to think, but to think with sober discernment, as God has distributed to each of you a measure of faith. For just as in one body we have many members, and not all members of the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ. And individually, we are members who belong to one another. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. Okay, so this is just a few chapters earlier, before we meet Phoebe. And Paul is speaking of the church and our interactions and one another relationships. He says, we have different gifts. Men and women, everyone has gifts. That's part of Paul's teaching. And what follows applies to male and female. Listen to this. If the gift is prophecy, that individual must use in proportion to his faith. If it is service, he should serve. If it's teaching, they've got to teach. Exhortation, they must exhort. Contributing, do so with sincerity. Leadership, do so with diligence. Show mercy with cheerfulness. These are not all the gifts. This is a list of seven probably representing the fullness of the gifts. And number six, leadership. That's related directly to the word that Paul uses to describe Phoebe. And by the way, in the New Testament, you can find all of these words being applied to women, whether it's showing mercy or prophesying or serving, leading. It's not just a men thing. In 1 Timothy 3:4, we read that the overseer must manage his household well. It's related to that word lead or manage. In 1 Thessalonians 5:12, we ask you, brothers and sisters, to acknowledge those who labor among you and preside over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them highly in love because of their work. There the word is translated preside over. So we have Phoebe as diakonos, a servant, or minister, if you want to use the Latin word, minister. Diakonos is the Greek, but she's a diakonos, and she's a prostatis, a leader. Conclusion. Let's be aware of our presuppositions when it comes to leadership in the ancient church. Now, I don't think this is a salvation issue, but it sure affects unity, and I think also our witness to the outside world, if we treat both genders fairly. And it's very easy to be overly patriarchal. This requires training in biblical interpretation, familiarity with history. We don't decide these things just by feeling or preference. But if we will carefully read the Bible, I think we'll see that there are nearly anything a man can do, a woman could do also. Nearly, and vice versa. Second, so let's honor our presupposition. Let's be aware of them. Second, let's respect Phoebe. Let's honor her and all who are like her. She's not unique in the modern world. There are many women who are patrons. That is, they are responsible, financially responsible, generous. They are servants. They serve the church in some way as deacons. Let's respect and honor such people. And last, let's reimagine, if we need to, reimagine the New Testament world, including those occasions when fresh letters, gospels, things that were just written were first read aloud. They were all sent. They're all intended for certain cities, but they were passed around and they were copied. They were read out. People listened and certainly asked for clarification. To be entrusted with that responsibility in the city of Rome, the capital of the empire, in what is quite well Paul's most important letter, to be entrusted with that responsibility as a woman says a lot. And that's our ancient sister, Phoebe.